welcome to the One Speed MMA podcast with yours truly, Flying Smitty.
And Carson Wood.
And we have a guest with us here today.
What's up, guys?
Introduce yourself, guest.
Paul Sheffield here.
Do you ever feel weird being the guest on a different podcast?
No.
Have you been a guest on a different podcast before?
I've done a couple. I did the I Am Salt Lake podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I've been on like three.
He's a good
other
guy.
Than my own.
I like Chris.
Yeah, being a guest is fun.
Yeah, it's very different.
A lot left pressure.
So
we're gonna need you to edit this when we're done. By the way, it's gonna be on our Dropbox.
Yeah, so if you don't mind,
it's gonna be on the Dropbox.
It does feel weird being a guest using my own equipment. That's something I
you should have brought your own mic to make it. Like we'll still use everything else, but just the mic that he uses.
But it's like sitting on your own hand.
Hey, but if you come to
wow.
It's called a stranger.
Yes. But you're a guest using your own equipment.
In my own home.
In your own. In the privacy of your own home.
I'm a guest with a guest I invited into my home. Yes. That is... No, I've never done this before.
We should have done this in your Jeep. We could plug it in everything.
Yeah. It has a power outlet.
I know it does.
It's got everything.
And so let's... So for those that don't know, Carson has accidentally called me Paul several times on our podcast.
Aw.
Yes. And that's because Carson and Paul have a podcast as well, known as
The Poor Sport Report at Poor Sportcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've heard of it before. We've talked about it.
Yeah, I've heard of it before.
I know you have. You've been on it.
You've been on it.
I was talking to the listeners, or Paul calls them viewers. They're very voyeuristic.
That's for the listener
that's
to decide.
That's why we have this window behind us. Yeah. But yeah, so, I mean, we do all things sports.
One day that window's going to be full of people wanting to watch.
Strangers.
Viewers. But no, we do all things sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I say a lot about the stuff that I always say I don't know. Like
so, not anymore. Yeah. You're better at that.
So let's talk some MMA first so we don't lose the viewership of the podcast.
Look who's us. Not so easy.
Listenership. And then let's talk some Game 7.
Ooh.
And get into some other sporting events.
MMA. So what is MMA?
So it's this blind organization, and it's people in MMA. They train UFC.
Yes,
nice. So I get another acronym to explain the first one. Perfect. What is MMA? It is UFC.
It is UFC. They're
it's like being in the military.
It's anonymous.
100%. Yeah. They only explain things with
only
acronyms.
EA but, only does things in acronyms too.
Do they?
Yeah. I mean, let's tear this Band-Aid right off. I've watched MMA and I've watched UFC. I have some biases. Number one, I don't think you should keep doing something that makes you bleed. Once bleeding happens, I'm out. And Carson gives me a lot of crap for it, but
I'll pause and just wait for Paul.
Pause the fight and I'll just be like, no,
but
that means stop what you're doing.
But the thing is, you do love the submission game.
I love the submission. If everything ended in a submission, I would be so much more into MMA. I can appreciate MMA, but just the submission game is great.
It's interesting to me because there are actual people out there that jiu-jitsu guys that won't do striking.
I mean, yeah, we should have had you watch the Damian Maia fight for sure.
So you can actually watch Eddie Bravo Invitational. Chael Sonnen's starting to put together a strictly grappling tournament, different things like that. But they actually have it now where Muay Thai is actually doing their own thing, boxing, so on and so forth, where the people that are really good at one thing are starting to actually get
I haven't told you about the UFC TV, huh? So UFC TV, they have this new – so they obviously do their UFC cards that they do on it. But they also have like a whole bunch of lower promotions that they're putting on it for MMA. But then they have jiu-jitsu tournaments. They have just Muay Thai tournaments. They have just – like you said, just grappling tournaments. So it actually is everything dedicated to MMA individually and then everything as a whole too. It's actually pretty great.
There's a picture of Michael Bisping I'm trying to find.
Is it him without a belt? Because I mean,
this one.
Jeez, man, that's the end.
I believe it's right after the Silva fight. He's hunched over and he's got blood dripping from his face.
To be clear, though, it's not the blood that bugs Paul. Paul doesn't get squeamish
with
blood. It's just he feels once the bleeding starts. Yeah.
That's the end
fight,
of the fight.
That should be a
knockout.
Not to Michael Bisping. If that happened, he would have lost to Anderson Silva.
Because I actually appreciate the knockouts, too. I love that highlight reel where a guy jumps off the cage and kicks the other guy in the face just out cold. Like
Showtime Pettis.
I can get on board. I just cannot stand someone over someone else just punching him while he's just bleeding. And no one's doing anything.
So what,
I hate it. I just hate it.
What about a body shot?
What do you mean?
Like when someone gets hit so
hard
to the liver
that's cool.
or body that they
I
can't.
Love, Dude, look, I can appreciate it. I like the art form of it. Like the Holly Ronda fight was actually perfect. That would like kick. That was a perfect fight. A little bit of blood at the end, but it was already over. Like you knew it was over. Like
we watched that here, just, huh?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
100%.
That was a good one.
I can't get on board when just like the blood starts flowing in round one and they just keep fighting and I'm just like nah, I'm out.
The both like, their like both their skins just dyed red.
Dyed
and then
red
it's just all over them.
Oh, I hate it. Ugh.
It's very interesting that you mentioned that though, because there's actually a thing in MMA where people are like, well, wonder how he's going to react when he sees his own blood. And there's younger fighters and even some of the professional fighters that have gone a long way without being like busted up.
Yeah,
a lot of the times you can actually see a change in how they're fighting or a change in their confidence when they just start bleeding all over the place. And the other really dumb thing that you see every so often is when they get busted noses. The worst possible thing to do is actually try and blow your nose when your nose is busted. So you'll actually watch people with busted noses kind of mess with them. And then you'll watch them like try and blow the blood out of their nose. And then all of a sudden they have a gigantic hematoma under their eye. This shit's
I've had a hematoma. That's no good,
and
man.
Bust. Yeah. So it's definitely interesting that it's like known in MMA where it's like, yeah, let's see how this young kid reacts when he gets punched so bad that he's bleeding.
And it's funny that it's just an inevitability. Like, it's just, we're all eventually going to get there if you're in MMA. It's like, you're going to eventually be there. Like,
or like a busted hand. People that fight through broken hands and like Rich Franklin. Rich Franklin, no, was it? Yeah, it was Rich Franklin knocked out. Who did he knock out, though? Chuck Liddell?
I
don't know.
Rich Franklin knocked out somebody with a broken arm.
I know Forrest Griffin did it too. Yeah. So did Faber.
Yeah.
I know
Broken hands. Yeah. Anderson
Silva. A broken leg usually is the end of that fight.
But it's not the end if you have steroids.
Jeez. Yeah. It's not even just MMA. When you start bleeding, you should stop whatever you... Kurt Schilling should not have been on the mound with that bloody sock. No. The bloody sock
should
have...
What about J.J. Watt?
Get him out.
So is it just blood? Or because he has like five different ailments that he's been playing through. Why is it just blood
no, but like,
that makes
hold
it bad?
On. It was the end of the play. They went back in. They nursed him. And then he went back
his
in.
His back.
But they have to, right? In the NBA, you have to leave if you're bleeding. Yeah. Like you have to come off and get it
that's
to where it's controlled.
I'm not even talking about, I mean, why is it just
a gentleman's sport?
I'm just saying, like, why
let's
is it
stop,
just
get him patched up and then let him go get punched again.
And if he can't come back out, then we'll just pull the whole game off until tomorrow. That's how the game should be. No, but no.
Could
why
you
is
imagine Steph Curry and how bad he would get abused if that was a rule?
Oh my
like if he
gosh
starts bleeding, he's done. They would,
bam.
Yeah, they would go back to like '80s Pistons where everyone was just like shoving
bad
everybody
boys
around. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, like, if you saw somebody fighting with, like Warrior. You've seen Warrior.
Mm-hmm. Great movie.
Fighting with a broken arm. Is that the same thing as the blood thing?
Yes, kind of. Yeah. I'm going to have to say yes. I just feel like that's you lost. I just, like, but, I mean, they've come back and won, and so I guess I can't say that. That's not a fair argument to say, but just in my brain, I guess it just feels like you've broken something that means you need to stop. It didn't work out.
My biggest argument, well, yeah, you couldn't defend yourself intelligently enough to not get something broken. However, you look at someone like Vanderlei Silva, who's got so much scar tissue under his skin that he bleeds really, really easy.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, cuts open so easy because so much scar tissue, so he bleeds pretty much every fight. He just gets punched like one good shot and
so
bleeding.
Retire is what my
oh no,
I'm just kidding.
Actually just do steroids till you get banned. Yeah. And if they come to your gym, you run away from them
and try and fight Chael Sonnen until he shows you his bank account.
Oh my gosh.
Which apparently he just came out and claimed was not true. So the story is this. Chael Sonnen and Vanderlei Silva were coaches on The Ultimate Fighter. You're familiar with The Ultimate Fighter, correct?
Yes.
The TV show where they like let him fight and then whoever wins gets a contract with the UFC. So Chael Sonnen and Vanderlei Silva. Vanderlei Silva is like one of the scariest looking guys you've ever seen. And apparently he's nice, but he's kind of a little crazy. He's supposed to be a little off.
Yeah, he is.
So anyway, Chael Sonnen is a huge talker. Like, he's one of the best, like, bad mouthers in all of MMA. And so what happens is they're actually on The Ultimate Fighter. In the very first episode, they actually throw down, which is, like, unheard of, where they actually get into a full-on brawl. And so Chael Sonnen was like, Vanderlei was done. He was going to leave. He was never going to come back. He didn't care about anything. So I had to take him into the back room and try and convince him, you're going to be the good guy. I'm going to be the bad guy. And it's going to all work out. And he was like, no, you shouldn't talk. This isn't, you know, MMA's a man's sport. Da, 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 da. And he's like, hold on. And apparently he said he opened up his bank app on his phone and showed him how much money was in his bank. And it was like, you let me do the talking, and we'll make sure we both get out of here all right.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Yeah. And so Wanderlei Silva is now saying, and I didn't read the article, but Wanderlei Silva is now saying that that never happened. And it's Chael Sonnen. So 90% sure it didn't happen. Yeah. But I mean, that was the height of Chael Sonnen. Like, well, I guess the downward fall of Chael Sonnen.
For both of them.
But Wanderlei Silva, let me show you a picture of this. But so there was a fight card yesterday, which was actually super good. Well, some of it was.
No, it was good. There were good fights. It was just there were too many fights for a Sunday night, and I was trying to get back to Game of Thrones. That was the problem. Other than that, they were actually really good fights.
Yeah, well,
God bless Garbrandt for getting us out of there early, though.
Before 11 o'clock. Yeah, no, so undercard, let's talk Aljamain Sterling versus...
I don't want to.
Versus Brian Caraway. And
that's the one I was most excited about.
You should. Aljamain is... He was...
This is Wanderlei Silva.
Yeah. No, I know who that is.
Yeah. He's the one with the weird tattoo on the back of his head.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He has the one on the back of his head?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that. But yeah, he was the up-and-coming guy. Super athletic kid. Ranked number 4. And he... Oh, I don't even remember that. He was going up against Misha Tate's boyfriend.
Okay.
Mrs. Tate. Or Mr. Tate.
Mr. Tate is what everybody calls him. And yeah, he wasn't expected to do anything.
So in the very first round, actually, it was an interesting fight because in the first round, Aljamain Sterling looked really impressive. He looked like an older brother because he had him in a full Nelson and was pushing his head forward, right? So his arms were up like this in a full Nelson. And it's the first time I've ever seen a full Nelson in a UFC fight because it doesn't make any sense because you're never going to get anyone to tap from a full Nelson, but it made him look like he was getting bullied by his older brother.
That's hilarious. I want to see that.
Yeah,
now.
It was actually pretty funny.
I was in transit and couldn't watch it.
They've got pictures of it. And then the next two rounds, it looked like Aljamain Sterling was going to be able to handle the wrestling of Caraway. And that's one of the things we talked about on the last podcast. It's going to go to the ground. Whoever has better wrestling is going to end up winning this decision. Caraway had better wrestling, which I did mention on the other one. I actually wanted Sterling to win, but I knew Caraway's wrestling was most likely better than Aljamain's, and he actually ended up winning based on just grinding it out. And a lot of people complained that, you know, it was a split decision. Some people claimed that it shouldn't have been a split because Caraway just won it all the way. And other people were saying that Aljamain, you know, pushed the fight or whatever and should have won. And he shouldn't have. He definitely lost.
That's the epitome of a split decision, though. Like, if you're just saying, oh, no, it should have won another way 100%, it's like, well, then we have another group of people that thinks that Sterling won. Like, that's the epitome of a split decision. Yeah.
Absolutely.
People silly.
Then we had the spinning back kick, and I can't even remember Collier. Mm-hmm. His name was Collier. He actually looked like he might be losing the first round.
That's one that I was also going to use as like, do you think the fight should be stopped? So first round, he gets put in the clinch and kneed into his face. Yeah. You can actually see the crease in his nose right here because his nose broke and was pushed up. And so you could see like right here in his eyebrow was like crunched up. And so they didn't call the fight, and then he came back and he won.
How did he win?
Liver kick.
Let's see if I can't find it.
He did a taekwondo, like, spinning back. I guess, I don't know what that's exactly.
Here's a question.
It was a spinning back
heel. A question that I posed to you, though, do you feel, and I don't know the answer to this, so I don't have a side on this argument, but I would understandably see it both
that
ways.
Basically gets to it. That's how it ended.
Ouch.
He spun around.
Do you think a competitor or a fighter treats another fighter differently once they are bleeding?
Yes.
Shark.
Two different people will handle it differently. Like, I think Damian Maya would kind of try to, sportsmanlike, try to not exploit that one thing. And then other people would go
right for it.
Blood in the water, and they would go at him.
You think that then changes the way they approached the fight before?
Yes.
So do you think that
which fighter? The fighter that's injured or
the fighter that's not injured. He either then maybe lets up a little bit or goes full on. In both cases, aren't they abandoning their original fight strategy of how to win that fight?
Yeah.
So doesn't that really, and again, I don't know, but wouldn't that alter the way the fight should have gone?
Well, we get into fight IQ, and yes, you are technically correct. So like if you break your foot in the first round and you are a karate guy, and you can't throw your right foot, that's going to change your entire game plan.
Yeah.
If you're a heavy striker and your hand or arm is broken, but you're not going to, say, give up, that's going to change your game plan. Like Uriah Faber. Uriah Faber broke both of his right hands, and he had to wrestle the entire time because he had to keep him down and just hold him because he couldn't punch him. However, if you go into a fight injured, usually you don't say anything because you don't want that injury exploited. So if you go in with a broken foot, someone could foot stomp you, and it's going to be like the worst pain that you've ever had. Or if you have if you have a contusion or a lower back issue or whatever it is that, that is ailing and you make mention of it, that person's definitely going to go for that area. It's like Karate Kid.
But then again, that's like saying, though, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You can. I want to hear what
I was going to say. That, like Champions League, where Real Madrid is going up against Atletico Madrid. Atletico Madrid had trained for like a month now, maybe less, a little bit less than that, but to try to block everything from Real from getting a goal, they were going to try to take it. So, like, once they get a goal and you have to come out of your shell, they didn't train for that.
Okay.
Like, they trained to be defensive the whole time and maybe get a counterattack goal. They didn't train to put more attackers onto the field. You know, it's like you have to, like, in all sports, you train for a certain position to get into to give you an advantage at some point, right? Like, so, I mean, the thing is does it change the fight that much? Yeah, like, it does change it, but both of those fighters have trained for that scenario at some point.
But that's also the point. So to your point that you just made, sorry, point, counterpoint.
Nice.
So if someone is a lead striker, right, they actually will throw leg kicks into their lead leg. So when you plant your lead leg to throw a punch, you can no longer plant it because your leg is banged up. Or if you're a wrestler, you actually have to wait for certain things for them to come in, right? So if you're a karate guy and you're against a wrestler, as soon as you throw a high kick, they're going to take out your one leg and they're going to take you to the ground. So part of the whole MMA fight IQ thing is figuring out what that person is going to do to you and what you can do to them to actually prevent it. Or vice versa. Does that make sense?
And I think that's where he's talking about, though. Like, that's what ruins the sport is when somebody gets injured and, like, your game plan's already over, though, right? Like, that's what you like.
Well, so this is what I'm thinking. And I mean, I could be wrong. So Carson is a striker and I'm a wrestler or whatever. And we're fighting. But I, as a wrestler, somehow on the ground, split open Carson's face. And now, oh man, Carson's got a weak face. Forget wrestling. I'm just going to punch this guy out. So I start punching at him, but Carson's a striker, catches me vulnerable, and then Carson wins the fight. But the only reason that happened is because mentally, he's bleeding. Now I can just take advantage. But like, they're both still, but like,
that's the concept.
In that moment, fight completely is, you know what I mean?
You, like, you are 100% correct.
I feel like you should stop it. I don't know.
Here's the thing. If that guy is not defending himself and continuing to take strikes to the face, the referee will stop the fight. However, what you're saying is two huge examples of this. Where's that noise coming from? I got it.
We're good.
I think it's me. Two examples of this. UFC 1, the very first UFC.
Ah, I remember it well.
Beautiful.
So great. You got to remember. So the Gracie family, right, who are like the gods of MMA because the whole point of this was to take disciplines and see which one was the best.
Okay.
Hoist Gracie didn't like the punch. He was a jiu-jitsu guy. So then you had like Mark Coleman, who was juiced to the gills, wrestler, like actually I think won in like the Nationals. Used to go with the Schultz brothers from, you know, Foxcatcher guys. So anyway, so you had two different sets. Well, the thing was is these wrestlers would take people down and just beat the hell out of them. Well, the jiu-jitsu guys would get him in an armbar or they would get him in something else. So their whole game plan was, this guy's going to come at me as fast as he can. And when he does, I'm going to catch him in this. A perfect example of a closer fight.
I think
What he's saying is they get punched in the face and they're bleeding and you call the fight.
It changes both fighters' mentalities. Because, I mean, what you're saying is like two people in position of will, they actually are training for that discipline and they're both implementing it. One of them gains an upper hand, where this is more like he gets me in an advantageous position and cuts me open, and then he exposes himself too much, something that he didn't train for.
He just exposes himself.
He just
right
rips
there
his pants off and shows me his penis.
Hit him with your penis.
And so I can get what you're saying, but like that's part of sports, though, is like those things that you don't anticipate, that you don't see, and how you react to them.
Killer instinct. You got to have that killer
But you also have to have composure at the same time. So if you do see blood, you don't just necessarily go all. You still have to pick your shots appropriately and make sure. I get what you're saying.
That it's not happening.
Well, and they have a whole segment set up to counter punches, right? someone punches, say I punch Carson, Carson gets flash KO'd, right? He looks like he's going to fall down. I go to attack, and then as I'm coming into attack, just like the Verdum fight in Stipe. So the last heavyweight championship happened just like that. One fighter caught one in the chin. He looked like he was going to drop. So the other fighter, Killer Instinct, ran right at him. And as he was running at him, the other fighter was backing up and clipped him and knocked him out. So it shows you like, okay, cool. I think I'm going to win this fight. Let's go full force and end it. And then that ends up putting him in a disadvantageous situation where he then gets himself knocked out.
But 99 times out of 100, if you have him in that fight, you're not going to lose it like that. No, yeah. So it behooves you to go in and still go try to finish it.
Because if you don't, usually what happens...
You can finish it. I'm going to go get snacks.
I'm going to beat the line to the restroom.
Everyone's glued. Perfect. Churro time.
Michael Chiesa. There's actually a UFC fighter that almost pooped himself in the ring the other day.
That's not helping me get into the sport.
That's happened in every sport, though.
Yeah, aren't there pitchers that are known to have pooped their pants and, like, shake their poop out on the...
Something with IBS. You know IBS. Like, you're not the only one. Yeah.
What do you mean I know? I live it.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You know. You know there's other people out there with IBS.
That's why they retired from the professional world of sport.
So you play one that takes 4 hours to do, and you're in the middle of nowhere, and you got hundreds of yards before you get to a bath, and that's the one you picked? That's the sport you picked?
That's the sport I picked.
I mean, they did give you a car, though, so you don't have to run. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. If I have a problem, I just push the pedal. I don't have to go anywhere. You're exactly correct.
You can always just take
If something happens, I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm in nature. I can drop trow. It's not on the court where someone's going to have to clean it. The custodians hate me at the rec center.
you could pick up long distance running. They just go on themselves.
Actually, I literally physical activity is what keeps IBS at bay for me. That's part of the reason I like going to the gym and stuff like that. The days I have never had an IBS issue on a day I've gone to the gym.
This isn't a slight of the podcast so far, but this just took a turn for a place that I thought we would never go.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. It's dude, because my body absorbs the calories. It doesn't have the ability or the desire to release.
And then you sweat out the water, which then.
Yeah. So, yeah. Actually, workout days are great.
Great. So we'll get you in the gym.
Yeah, let's get you in the MMA gym.
Honestly, it wouldn't be a bad thing.
Absolute down the street.
I will let you know. I have a very weak head. I can't. I boxed as a child a couple of times, and I 2 times in a row got hematomas on my head. It like just blood bubbles.
I feel
and my
like
mom
that's,
lost her mind. I feel and like I never did it again.
That's coincidence. I understand. I just feel like that's coincidence.
I think that's was a slippery slope. Of you being overprotected by your mother.
I was wearing headgear. Honestly, it freaked me out. Like I was just like, no, Mom, there's like this thing on my head.
Because that's not like that's
it
not
didn't
you having...
freak her enough for like to do a copay or go to the hospital, but she was definitely concerned.
So you sure you were insured at the time?
Yeah.
She cleaned out the ice
worked,
tray.
My dad
and,
worked for an insurance company. We better have been.
it's like the guy that works in gardening that the yard is the worst
it's
one.
The worst one.
Yeah. I just feel like that was a freak accident. That doesn't mean you have a weak head. I thought
but
you were gonna,
twice. Really?
Yeah, I thought you were gonna say you got knocked out twice and I'd be like, yeah, you probably should stay away from that and probably shouldn't be a goalie in any sport. Like you should probably just stay. But no, I think hematomas like that's kind of a freak accident.
There was a guy in our neighborhood that had a boxing gym, so on Wednesday night, you know, we would go for our activity to the boxing gym. Oh, and it was actually really fun. And I actually held my own, like I wasn't great. Ryan Whipple, that was the guy. He was the guy to beat.
Watch out for him, guys. Up and coming.
Yeah, up and coming.
Ryan Whipple. He's probably in a penitentiary at this point, so I'm not too... Actually.
Try and convince you that penitentiary would only hire you?
Yeah.
And with that, what was your favorite fight of the night last night?
I was most excited for the Hen and Burrow Stevens fight, but the... Was it Larkin?
Lorenz Larkin, Masvidal. Yeah.
I liked just kind of everything. Like, I think Star was not necessarily born, but the Star's parents had sex that night and he was conceived. Like, he's on his way. I think Larkin is going to eventually be a star. Like, I just liked him. Like, when he got in, the first thing he wanted to say is just how apologetic he was for the eye poke. Mm-hmm. And then it was just a good fight.
I really enjoyed it. So 4 quick questions for you.
Toss it up.
What do we do next with Hen and Bro?
Another fight at 145 against probably a natural 145er that doesn't usually fight at 155.
I agree with that. You had a name?
I do.
So we're looking at the 145-pound UFC division. Let's see here. Featherweights. Henan Barao. Give him Conor McGregor.
I'm fine with that. He can have another Brazilian back out of a fight with him in three different weight classes. Three different champs, three different weight classes. Well, it would still be at 145, but...
All right, so he's... Why is he saying the flight? So he's not. He's bantamweight, right?
No, he's featherweight.
Oh, because I did flyweight. That's why.
Is Cub tied up?
No, I don't think. I don't believe it. He might be in one of the not 200. No, I don't think he is.
Give him Yair Rodriguez.
I think a lot of They said to give Yair Rodriguez to Garbrandt.
No. Already?
Wait, no, that's two different divisions, though,
no,
right?
No, you're right. No, you're right. He's Garbrandt's 135.
Then maybe it was Henan Brow. Maybe it was Henan Brow against Yair.
Then we're on the same page, whoever that is. I like that
fight. They tweeted that out, and that was actually a super solid one. What do you think? The other one that I saw was, speaking of Cody Garbrandt, against John Dodson.
Oh, No.
Jeremy Botter's suggestion, and I was like, that's too steep of a jump in competition too quickly.
For Garbrandt?
And they said, a jump in speed is all he said.
A jump in speed and a jump in power. John Dodson's crazy fast and strong. There's only one person that can beat Dodson at that weight division right now.
And he's at 130, so you think Dominic Cruz is the only one that can beat him? Because he went up from 125.
Oh, you're
to
right. He did.
That's why Garbrandt.
No. There's more people that can beat him at bantamweight.
I think just based on size.
I don't think Garbrandt's that much bigger than him. That's the weight class that he beat TJ Dillashaw to win the Ultimate Fighter.
I guess that's true.
That's the weight. I mean, that's how he won the whole Ultimate Fighter on that. I mean, if we're talking, I like Henan Barao, Yair Rodriguez. If we're talking Cody Garbrandt,
I wanted to put him against TJ Dillashaw. I mean, obviously that's a numbers jump in competition, but I would love to see that fight.
Me too.
Well, let's explain why. Let me explain why I like to see that. So
no explanation needed. I like it.
Well, I would like to hear the explanation because I don't know how you say that Dawson's too much of a jump up, but then
Dillashaw's not.
The Dillashaw. Yeah.
Well, this isn't a competition thing. This is because, so MMA gyms, right, usually have certain people to train there, and a lot of times they'll go to different gyms to train, and then they'll come back or whatever it is. Well, TJ Dillashaw was from Team Alpha Male, who's Uriah Faber, butt chin guy, mm-hmm. California dude. Cody Garbrandt, who's all tatted up, the guy that fought last night. There's several different people, and then Joe Benavidez. So Alpha Male is basically, if you weigh 140, or you fight at 145 pounds and less, okay. Team Alpha Male is like one of the top gyms for the smaller guys. Well, TJ Dillashaw trained his entire career with Team Alpha Male, and as soon as he won the title, he left. And he went out to train with a different team in Colorado.
Okay.
And so several of the fighters don't care, and there's actually two fighters, Uriah Faber and Cody Garbrandt, the guy that fought last night, that absolutely hate TJ Dillashaw.
Can't stand him.
And so what it would be is it would be a grudge match, because Uriah Faber's tied up against Dominic Cruz for a title shot. TJ Dillashaw is too technically at UFC 200, but what you would do is instead of giving him an older Uriah Faber, you'd give him an up-and-coming guy from Team Alpha Male. And so it would be two ex-gym partners that would fight each other because they hate each other.
Okay.
A lot of drama.
And that's how you sell it. So it's not necessarily...
We don't want no drama.
Nope. No drama. We don't want no drama.
No, we don't.
Did you know that My Milkshake Brings All the Boys to the Yard girl has admittedly said that she's never made an actual milkshake?
Really?
Yes.
Sounds like the person at Melty Way that couldn't do an ice cream sandwich. Ice cream, milk, done.
It keeps melting. I don't know what's happening.
No.
I keep melting this ice cream sandwich.
I order my grilled cheese, and you were getting a pretzel? Were you getting a hat? I can't remember.
It's all in the details.
So then he comes back, and he's like, oh my gosh, that banana thing, and then Bananas Foster, and then
sandwich.
Ice cream sandwich looks good. And I'm like, ooh, I've already ordered. I actually really want that ice cream sandwich. And I go back to the kid, and I'm like, hey, can I actually just get one of these two? And he's like, yeah. So it's a cookie, which you're sitting on the counter, ice cream, and then a cookie. And he goes, I'm new here. I'm going to have to ask my manager how to make it. I can't get that for you right now.
There's
one
a
second.
Big image behind him.
Dead, no, there was. Dead, no, poster. Big image. Not even. Like, Justin, it words can't express how ridiculous the scenario. Like, you can't make this up.
The only time that we've had a worst experience is when we were at Applebee's and I asked for the bourbon chicken and shrimp and she asked me how I would like it cooked.
It's it was chicken. Chicken.
And I was like,
I don't want to get sick.
I just want, it's chicken. I just want it cooked. And then she just goes, well, you ordered the steak. And I was like,
did not.
No, I said the bourbon chicken and shrimp. And she's like, that's not what it's called. And I just go like this and point at the menu and just, I'm just looking for help. Like, am I stupid?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, we just call it the bourbon, but it says bourbon.
No,
chicken.
No. It's the bourbon and shrimp is the steak is what she was saying. Uh-huh. But if you want, you just say chicken and shrimp. You're not allowed to say bourbon, even though it clearly on the menu says bourbon, steak and shrimp and bourbon, chicken and French pizza. But if you say bourbon, that's just the steak. No, it's not. And then, no, it's not.
And then and then she walks out and then comes back and just and looks at us. Nobody had ordered steak. It just goes after we had this whole conversation, just goes, would you like any steak sauce?
Dead faces, Carson. Dead face. And I'm just like,
chicken. Bad. She had a bit. She had an off night.
She was tripping.
That's what crack does.
That's
there you go.
That is the difference. And like, we busted up laughing at some point, and she was not happy.
Yeah, right at her, she right when she walked away. Because I just
she
held my breath.
We were being jerks, but I'm like, lady, I cannot express how many times and how thorough we were in trying to explain that it was the chicken.
You guys want to know your first mistake? Walking into an Applebee's.
Oh man, the bourbon chicken and shrimp's amazing. Yeah. It's you're right. I understand what you're saying, but All right.
So I got two more questions for you.
Okay.
What do you do with Sterling? Who was the number four
silver
or
the person?
Sterling Silver. What do you do with? Do you polish it? You can't wash it in a washing machine.
No,
you
polish it.
You gotta polish
it. Don't wash it because it will rust.
It will.
same one. Thomas Almeida.
I almost feel like give him Dodson. Sterling, that'd be a fast fight.
That would be fast and strong. That would be interesting. I'll take that, especially because Aljamain's going to drop in ranking. But yeah, why not?
Probably not a ton, though. One. Thomas Almeida will go higher than him. Brian Caraway will. He might just lose out to Michael McDonald just because.
Yeah.
And he'll definitely drop. Yeah, he might be at 8.
McDonald fights here soon. Next card, right? Anyway. And then, so John Dodson, Rick Story, what do you do with Rick Story?
I don't know.
That's
not all honesty.
That's the rough one. Because, I mean, he was up in the top. He didn't look very good. It was a really boring fight. But he did beat Safadine, who was at one time the Strikeforce champion.
I don't know on that one. I don't.
All right. And then we have...
I'm sorry. That was a bad analyst. But ever since the Charlie Brenneman thing, like, it just... Again, me and Sean were talking about it yesterday. That's the argument. You don't just take any fight anytime, anywhere. They're trap fights. Man.
So Matt Brown is already, he's under contract. What is that noise?
People the hoodlums outside. In the neighborhood.
Oh, I thought it was something on your computer. I was like, what in the world? All right, so he beats Aberdeen. Don Young Kim, I don't know where he is right now. Matt Brown is under contract for a fight.
Is he?
Yes.
He's probably got done fighting. Who did he sign? I know he just signed a new fight extension, but who's he fighting?
Shit.
Because he just lost to Maya.
He's.
Rick Story, though. It's.
You could really give him almost anyone.
Give him Gunnar Nelson.
Jake Ellenberger. He's fighting Jake Ellenberger.
Already?
Matt Brown is.
I actually like that fight.
Yeah, it'll be an exciting fight to see.
Matt Brown's going to get it.
Because Jake Ellenberger is basically the Jeremy Stevens of the welterweight division.
Dude, he was looking so good for so long. Did you hear the problem that he has with Tyrone Woodley? Matt Brown does.
That he doesn't believe he deserves it?
Yeah.
Then he says that he won the Condit fight because he blew Condit's knee out with a kick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree with him. But, I mean, Rick Story, you've got Hector Lombard, Thiago Alves, Gunnar Nelson, who's free right now. Like, yeah, there's enough people within the top 15 for him to fight. I don't believe he's an 11. But Neil Magny, I believe, is contracted to fight as well. So he's not going to be able to do that. No, that's what they said. Yair Rodriguez versus Jeremy Stevens. That's the fight that people were calling for. Yair and Jeremy. Because that would be exciting. Anyway, that's that. Two quick fight announcements. that came out this morning that you probably have not seen.
I have not. I haven't looked at anything.
I have, so I know what you're about to say.
Yeah. Fabricio Verdum versus Ben Rothwell.
Oh, I actually did see that. That was actually last night. I came out with that.
At 2:03.
I was
then,
up.
And Andre Arlovski versus Josh Burnett.
Are they trying to get Ben Rothwell
off
the card?
Yep. Josh Burnett.
Are they trying to get Ben Rothwell off their off the books?
They're trying to just throw him to the Wolves so he can be consumed and spit back out to the
IFL. I'm about
IFL.
Wolves, but Wolves.
No, Wolves.
There's an L in there.
Are you excited for either of those fights?
Yeah.
Can you explain to me why you'd be excited for either of those fights? What about you, Paul? Are you excited for either of those fights?
Oh, so excited about that one with Burnett.
The Burnett.
The Burnett fight is going to be amazing.
Which Burnett? Rhonda or Misha?
Betch. Josh.
Betch. Betch Barnett.
AJ Burnett, the
Barnett.
Pitcher.
Barnett.
He's done pitching and now has decided to join the ranks of the UFC.
Mm-hmm. He's got that strong right arm.
Strong. Yeah, he's a lefty.
I know, because his left arm is thrown out.
Oh, perfect.
Because he threw too many for his... He had Tommy John's syndrome. What is it called?
Isn't Tommy Surgery? John's underwear?
Yeah, it is.
Is there a Tommy John underwear?
Yeah.
So you have the surgery and you just wear the apparel?
I think the surgery is a different name.
Yeah, it's Tommy John's surgery.
Oh, is it Tommy
I'm
John's
surgery? I'm 100% going to let
it?
You know that.
So I hear you get. I hear you get it from having underwear that's too tight, and so you don't get enough blood flow to your throwing arm.
I'm looking this up right now.
So you that's need to buy. You need to buy Tommy John's.
It's an
underwear.
Elbow. It's an elbow.
Yeah, no.
They both are a thing.
Yeah,
I was one of them.
You didn't
I was
know
like,
about Tommy John's surgery?
No, I did, but I was like, we're wrong on one of these. One of these is not under that name.
They're both.
And they're both.
It is. No, yeah. It's. And I was actually.
It's like ISIS. Both against America and the way to pay with your phone.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
They changed their name real quick.
To what, ISIL? Quick. I really hope it's ISIL.
ISIL. Yeah, they're all damn ISIL.
We'll just be
0-2 on this one. We went from ISIS to ISIL, and those damn terrorists have taken our name both times. Thanks, CNN.
Thanks for nothing.
All right.
Did they really change their name? What is it now?
Oh, yeah. They changed it. I don't know what it is. I don't use it.
Nobody
I don't trust
uses
anything
it.
That...
Their image has been ruined.
Their image is shot.
Think about what you're doing.
It's almost like the candy that was named AIDS in the 80s.
Oh,
that's
man.
Not good.
Was it?
Yeah. Or AIDS. I think it was actually a cough drop or something like that. AIDS.
It was, but it had to be inserted rectally. So.
Oh, gosh.
The truth of that.
A cough drop? I would love that to be a thing.
A cough suppressant that is inserted with a laxative.
I love it because I don't get that, like, that. Grimy taste in my throat. It's great.
People don't know I'm sick because they can't smell it on my breath. But it absorbs so much faster.
Oh my gosh.
I just feel so much better.
That
so
wasn't
much
the end
quicker.
Of it.
Anyway.
So if I ever drink, it's going to be rectally. I've heard it's so much better.
Hey, except you'll die because it absorbs like 3 times as fast.
Get a tampon.
Yeah.
Don't women do that? Something isn't a thing.
I've heard that people partiers. Have, but people also die, and then they get toxic shock syndrome for leaving it in too long.
Oh,
yep. Anyway, so explain to me why you're excited for either of those fights, and then let's talk some
excited
game seven.
Excited's not like a not the word I would use.
Are your pants a little bit tighter?
Ready? No, like I mean. Am I overexcited for this fight, like compared to other fights that are coming up? No, but as an MMA fan, like I love watching Verdum. Rothwell at any time could start dancing, so like
he could also die.
He's not gonna die.
I don't mean like that. I just mean because he looks like weakened to Bernie's.
Oh, because of the zombie guard.
Yeah.
Or what was the other one? Mummy guard.
Mummy guard.
I like zombie guard more.
No, because zombies keep their hands out, and or mummies keep their hands out, and zombies do not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You ever watch Scooby-Doo?
Those are fake zombies.
Listen, mister, we didn't know about Tommy John. I'm not going to expect you to know about monsters either.
Yeah.
Hey, you didn't know about Tommy John. You didn't know about the underwear.
Or monsters.
But I didn't deny its existence when it was told to me.
Or Munster cheese.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Where's that coming in? Hold on, wait.
Wait, what?
Well, what I said is... You can't tell us about monsters, and I said, or monsters.
Ah, real monsters.
And then I said, or monster cheese.
I'm really excited for the Monstars coming up.
We're picking the team.
Number two, Space Jam number 2?
Yeah.
What's the team you got?
I
don't know if you
have
noticed it.
I think they've already released it, though. It's a problem.
Did they?
And Russell Hustle's not on it.
Russell Wilson and Boogie Cousins are two that should just be slated.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis, Boogie Cousins, Russell Hustle. Westbrook, not Wilson, but LeBron James. Porzingis?
No, well, not if we have Porzingis. No, not if we have Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis would be great.
Dwight Howard would be another one.
He could definitely, or even James Harden.
Dwight Howard could be the really square one with the big shoulders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And square. He could be a Frankenstein character.
See, that's the thing. Like, what Russ,
I feel like Boogie Cousins is just the name of a monster.
Well, Westbrook wouldn't even have to give his powers up.
No.
Maybe Boogie
Maybe
Boogie Cousins can also just be one of them and keep his name and his look, but just play for the Monstars.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All of that. Yeah. Except for Westbrook actually looks like one.
No, no, those sweet hipster glasses that he wears.
We're not talking about that. Press conference will have him on, but during the game, you're not going to have him on.
Westbrook doesn't look like a Monstar. Dwight Howard looks like a Monstar.
No.
What? I don't.
Talk game seven while I pull up side-by-side
images. Game seven. You want to know why I want OKC to win? I really want Cantor to get a ring.
No! What the hell, man? I'm off. Get out of my house. I'm a guest on this podcast. You're a guest in the home. Get out. Penis cancer. Gotta go.
He baited that like he thought it was going to be funny. You just got to go over it.
Baited me so hard. Gosh.
You want to know why I even know that's a thing? Because apparently I said I wanted OKC to win at my brother's house last night as we were watching the fights, and everyone was like, we don't want Cantor to get a ring.
That's not a Monstar?
Okay, he does have a strong forehead. But Dwight Howard could also do it.
Yeah.
But Golden State already won. So to me, I would like to see OKC versus the Cavaliers.
Not everybody. Trace was also on board with OKC winning.
As long as Cantor doesn't get a ring.
Well, no, he didn't say that. He's like, hasn't done anything. It's not like even if they win that he's really going to contribute to it.
I always want I really like Kevin Durant. And I like Michael Westbrook, even though he's a monster.
What about Russell Westbrook?
What did I say?
Michael.
Oh, because he's a football player. He should probably just stick to football. But the basketball player, Westbrook, I like those two.
Okay, so look, I got a lot invested in tonight.
So you've obviously bet money on Golden State.
Well, okay, hold on. You got to hear the whole story.
All right, let's go. This is what podcasts are for. Awesome stories.
I'll make it quick.
No, you can.
That is 100% a Monstar.
Yes.
I am a man that only makes bets with one purpose. And what's that purpose?
To win.
To make money.
To make money. Yeah. Other people like to make bets. No. A lot of people like to make bets to humiliate someone, to prove they were right. And that is not something that I do.
So I had to do 25 push-ups last night because of that kind of bet.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that.
I try to really stay as even-keeled as possible on bets and not get emotionally involved, because that's when you lose. When you get emotionally involved, meaning you just want to prove you are right and they are wrong. So Brian Nace, another friend of the program, we've gone back and forth. You've heard about the bet last year where I took the field and he had San Antonio Memphis, right? Mm-hmm. Well, he was not happy about losing that bet. He paid up. He's a man. I get it. And then this year he's like, well, you only take it when it's your advantage. And I'm like, fine, let's switch it up. So
we're looking at a picture of Russell Westbrook and Michelangelo, the Ninja Turtle.
That's Raphael. Come on.
Oh, it is red, huh?
Red.
It looked orange from my angle.
I think I think the hue makes it look red, but I actually think that's Michelangelo. I think he's right. Well.
I love being a turtle.
Anyway, at the beginning of the year, no one really was lost from Cleveland or Golden State. So I was like, fine, Nace, I'll take Cleveland and Golden State and I'll give you the field. And he took it. So Cleveland's in the finals. And if Golden State wins, I win, guaranteed, because both of my picks are in the finals. So that's 250 wrapped up.
Whoa.
It was a 250 bit, OKC, there's a big OKC fan at my work, and he was piping his chest. He was puffing it up real, real big that OKC was going to win it all. Yeah. And I'm like, they're not even going to get out of the next round.
But he has to, because that's the only way he gets his money. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
If I had to have OKC win in order for me to not lose, I would puff my chest and be like, oh, man, I'm fine. OKC's got this. They got
this. But this is a different guy.
And this was not this round. This was before.
Just after beating San Antonio, going in just saying they're winning it all. And I'm like, they're not beating Golden State.
Okay. I thought you meant this.
So I decided to hedge my bet because he's talking trash. So I'm like, I will bet you Golden State beats Oklahoma City, 250. I'm hedging my bet because I don't think OKC could beat Cleveland. So that's where my mind goes. He's like, whoa, I don't know that much. I'm like, fine, $100. He's like, deal. Shakes my hand. OKC goes up 3-1. I'm like, shiz. And now we might. And I could just win them both tonight.
So you win both. You win $350.
I would win $350 tonight.
Ooh.
It's a good day. It's a good Memorial Day.
Yeah.
For those fallen.
It's one for
the NBA.
It's one to remember.
One to remember, yeah. And I've already said if I...
to memorize.
Oh, speaking of which, I actually have to hurry a little bit.
Yeah.
Because...
But that's why tonight's a big...
We're going to visit my wife's grandfather's grave for Memorial Day.
Nice.
But luckily, it's not very far from our home.
But that's tonight for me. So
that
is Golden State, if Golden State loses, I'm out 100 and then my 250's on the line. If they win, I got it in the bag. I'm done.
And you want penis cancer to win.
and I'm going to buy a Curry jersey if they win.
Here's the thing.
For the greatness.
He needs the money because if we've learned anything from South Park and Magic Johnson, money cures everything.
Money over everything.
That's a little far-fetched, but that's kind of funny.
Nice choice of words.
Hey, and the pun.
Everyone gets it.
It's a dog. It's a dog next to Russell Westbrook.
A boxer, far-fetched. No less.
All right, so let's talk 199. So you want, okay. So if Golden State goes through, who do you want to win between Golden State and the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I don't care. I want to see, I actually do want to see Cleveland just get it over with. I'm tired of everyone talking. Just win it. And I like the rivalry between Curry and LeBron. I really do. I think Golden State can win it all. They just have this just we're not going to quit attitude. And I feel like...
Do you think the Cavaliers are too big for Golden State?
I could be wrong. At the beginning, I think we need to go back to the Poor Sport Report. I think I did pick Cleveland at the beginning of the year. I think that I did. And if I did, I got to stick with that pick. I can't change now. But I want Curry to win. I just want him to win. I love how everyone hates that he's so small and getting it done. Like, I just
he's
love
really not
him.
That wow. small.
It's a generational thing. Because if he would have played... A decade ago, 20 years ago, his size would have been an issue because the game was so much more physical.
All I'm not really, say is Muggsy Bogues.
If Curry gets
and he
me,
can shoot it from anywhere.
I guess that's true. But I'm looking at like...
if he earns me $550, I buy your jersey. That's just the way it goes.
From the Pacers.
Reggie Miller?
Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller's tall, man.
Yeah, but I mean, he was super skinny.
Yeah.
And he got shoved around by everybody. He'd always do that yeah. baseline
shoved out
run
to the three-point
by.
Line and then just yeah. drain him.
But I mean, that's the thing is... I mean,
but he could never do it himself, and obviously Steph Curry did last year.
No,
he had Bogut, he had Draymond.
It's a great Utah boy,
Bogut. I'm so glad that he won one. Is he still there?
Yeah,
he's already got one. He doesn't need another.
How dare you? You're wearing your U hat.
Yeah,
he's an Australian. He's an Australian
that went to Utah. You think everyone that plays for the Utes is from Utah?
Number one draft.
Yep,
I know.
Along with Alex Smith, first college ever to have number one pick in two sports.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah,
first
both,
and only.
You both know.
I remember.
You're on that D.
Woo,
that UD.
And I was in Nicaragua for all of it.
I was here, and then I left for two losing seasons, and then I came back for another winning season.
Woo!
Perfect timing. I am the secret ingredient to the Utes winning.
What happens lately?
What have you done for me lately? We did all right last year.
You're not here for all right, Justin.
I moved to Spain, and we did terrible that year. And I came back, and we did good. See?
Got to stop leaving.
I gotta quit leaving. Here's my question. What do you want in the series? What do you want to see?
In this one?
Game 7, and then whoever wins this one. Well, you want Golden State, because you don't want Cantor to win a ring.
Yes.
So the Cavs or Golden State?
Golden State.
Great, great, great.
I'd be happy whoever wins. Honestly, it would just be an enjoyable series.
I don't think they're too long. I also don't think Steph Curry's that small. He's just skinny, but he's 6'3".
Yeah, he's not that small. He's like a John Stockton.
His frame is just really small.
Yeah, he's skinny.
And he's got those papier-mâché ankles, everyone knows.
They're a lot better than Rose's knees.
Yeah, I was being sarcastic right there. His ankles are fine.
No, they're not. He has a specially designed shoe that makes
sure. He does. And those ankle guards are... up.
Yeah, I didn't know how right Nace was, but he was right.
I thought they just gave him those Forrest Gump like metal metallic coverings to make sure that they had enough strength in it.
I think that they do actually. I'm looking up images right now.
They're pretty strong.
Really?
He has bad ankles.
I'd wear him if it saved my career.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. For all that money.
I think
saved or like make you like the best shooter of all time.
I think you get more viewership Golden State versus Cleveland.
Oh, 100%.
Durant versus LeBron didn't they play, is a huge
they played
sell.
Last year, right?
Yeah, it would be a rematch.
LeBron versus Durant's a huge sell. Like, everybody's been waiting for that for a long time.
I love Durant so much.
I do, too.
I love him winning a championship anywhere other than with Enes Kanter.
I like that any year but this year.
That is kind of funny. How about everyone's that? Like, how about he wins next year when he gets traded away? So
they could have done it last year when I had the field, but no, they had to get injured.
They had Kanter then, too.
If LeBron James wins, does he go back to Miami?
No.
No, he's not going back to Miami.
Especially if he wins, he's not going back to Miami.
He's
going
to go back to him and what's-his-face have a really good relationship.
They always... Stop.
Best friends.
Stop. No.
Let me tell you about my best friend. I'm going to leave Cleveland again and go play in Miami.
No, he's not going to do that.
Bosch
isn't there now.
It doesn't matter if Bosch is there. Bosch,
it was, it
Bosch wasn't that important. It wasn't that.
Bosch is there.
No, he's not. Is he?
He's retiring for blood clots, man.
He is retiring?
I don't think he's going to ever see the court again.
Well, he'll probably see it. He might not play professionally.
I don't think he's going to play professionally again.
I will never go back into a stadium. I'm never looking at a court again.
You have TNT on?
Never.
Turn it off.
Is that Charles Barkley?
I heard that he was coming back, and it's just like they'll put him on thinners and he'll be fine.
I could be wrong. That one I'm not saying 100% on. I could be wrong, but I don't think he's going to play again. And Wade is...
And they got Dragic now.
...deteriorating before our eyes, which is sad because he's amazing.
He almost carried him against Toronto, though.
He did.
And when LeBron goes back after he wins the ring this year.
I mean, it's downhill from here. I mean, look at these. Those things are beasts on both ankles, just all the way halfway up his shins, man.
All right. So let's get into the important things for the last 10 minutes here.
199.
Let's talk to two main
Is that how
fights.
Much Curry weighs? Are we still on that?
Yeah, right. He doesn't weigh 199. He's pushing $150. Woo. All right. Uriah Faber, Dominic Cruz. We were discussing last night that you think Cruz may... No, it's not a thing.
If Faber may actually win this one. If I'm thinking Cruz is winning, no problem. He's winning four rounds to one. He's going to pretty much do the same thing that he did against TJ. But I just have this weird feeling that Faber's going to win. Like, it, and I have, it's based off of absolutely nothing.
Enough to put money on it?
No, it's a feeling. I don't, feelings and thoughts have to come together for me to bet. Like, I'm not, like,
I would parlay $5 to $10 on Bisbing and Faber.
Do it then.
And I would make...
No, you just said you were going to do it. No, you won't.
If I won.
Yeah, if. You're not going to.
I forgot that.
Because Bisbing's not winning. There's no feeling or thought anywhere there.
See, and I feel the same way. Listening to Bisbing's interview on the Ariel Helwani show, the MMA Hour, was one of those things that made me like, this dude knows it's his only shot. He knows that this is his last chance. He might even win the belt and retire. He wants it more than Rockhold wants it, I think.
He just got... What does he have? Like, Rockhold's been training for a wrestler and a striker for the last few months, and now he's only going against a...
What do you... Is that Tinder?
No, it's Britney Spears got a new haircut on Yahoo. I'm just checking it out.
She shave her head?
I don't know. That's what I want to know.
He's been training for a wrestler and a striker, and I'll admit that Bisbing is a better striker than Weidman, obviously. I mean, other than, even though he can't finish, but as far as, like, boxing and stuff, like, he's better. But now, like, what does Rockhold have to train for? Like, wrestling? Nope. He can pretty much just focus on his stand-up now. Yeah. It's not like Bisbing has nothing to really challenge him.
Yeah. The hard part with this is Rockhold is in the worst situation. I mean, we talk Rick Story, like Charlie Brennerman. Sometimes being the title holder or the favorited fighter plays against you in a short matchup time. So even OSP versus John Jones, OSP obviously won, but he didn't look his best against OSP because of training styles and different things like that. If I were to have to bet a lot of money, if I were to bet my car, I would bet on Rockhold. But if I could put down a little bit of money and win a lot, I would bet on Bisbing. No problem. I like Bisbing. I hope he wins the belt. I hope Faber wins too, because I think if he won, he'd fight maybe one more time. There'd be one more rematch between him and Cruz. He'd probably lose and then he'd retire. He could Matt Serra him. He could.
You've been saying for the last 2 weeks that everybody's going to retire that wins belts.
That's a lot of retirements.
There's two people. Bisbing.
Everybody in Pride should retire.
No, they don't have belts, so it makes it easy. Retire.
There was the next stipulation. But go ahead. What you were going to say? Go ahead.
And Faber. Those are the only two. And then the Pride generation should all retire, unless you're a heavyweight. That's the only caveat.
So not
it's very simple to follow, Carson. I don't know why this is complicated.
You guys should really stop making millions and just listen to me and retire.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Rockhold is going to slay a bunch of women before the fight. He's going to walk into the fight.
And exhausted from all the sex he just had.
And then he's gonna absolutely destroy Bisping, and then he will go about his slaying women business after. Like, it's going to be a slight, like, variation in his lifestyle for about 4 hours, and then he's just going to continue on what he does. Like, it's just, that's what's happening going forward. But I just don't see any possible way that Bisping beats Rockhold.
Puncher's chance? Even a pillow can knock someone out. I've seen it on YouTube.
Not a professional fighter.
Before you walk away.
Carson, don't walk away.
I have one.
Someone's about to get hit in the face with a pillow.
Why me? He's gone. He's got a hematoma. Great, Carson.
It worked.
We already talked about this. He's got a hematoma. Call the fight.
What just happened?
Call the fight.
I'm not bleeding. Keep it going.
We just proved it here first. Mythbusters. Yeah. You can get knocked out by a pillow.
Dan Henderson hiked a Lombard.
That's happened already? Shit.
That's this weekend. Dan Henderson. Yeah. Team USA.
I mean, I might even see that. Like, maybe Rockhold pulls out and we get to see Henderson's last two fights. And he gets to go fight Bisping again. Just get to see the H-bomb, the most beautiful highlight ever.
That's awesome. All right. So, we're finishing up.
I like it.
Yeah. When do you guys record the Poor Sport Report?
Right, we're going to record it today.
Will it be live today as well, you think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%.
Yep.
Do you guys have a certain day that you usually go live?
We've been really irregular right now. We're going to get back more into it. It's been a crazy time, but
it's a great card, by the way.
So, go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, 199.
But awesome. It will be live today at Poor Sportcast. We'll definitely tweet out your one speed as well.
Yeah, and we'll retweet you as well, so everyone knows and can check out. If you want to talk big boy sports other than just MMA, which is all I know, you can listen to Paul and Carson because they know a lot more about other sports than I do. Carson about soccer and Paul about everything else.
No, I don't know a lot about baseball or hockey. But are
those really sports though?
Baseball is. I mean, baseball.
No, baseball is a pastime. Hockey is a sport.
Yeah,
I can agree with that.
It's America's pastime, not a sport.
America's, and it is Memorial Day, so apparently.
A lot of baseball today.
Just upset a lot of people.
Memorial Day and 4th of July. We're just kidding, everybody. We give you those 2 days.
Kind of. Sean loves baseball. That's my brother, for those that don't know.
Yeah. But, I mean, I can talk baseball. I'm not super knowledgeable, but I can talk baseball. Hockey is not a realm for me.
I have stopped wearing my baseball caps outside of the house because anytime I wear my White Sox hat, someone will bring up baseball, and I'm like, yep.
Dude, for real.
Yep.
For real, man.
And I know nothing about baseball. So I let them talk and just agree with everything that they say.
My Pirates hat gets more attention than anything.
Yeah.
So does my Pirates hat.
Like, yeah, man. And they haven't really done anything. Oh, Pirates, huh? So how are you feeling about this year?
I'm not a Pirates fan. I'm a Braves fan. I'm a fan of this hat, though.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, look, I like the Pirates, but they're not going to beat the Cubs. Oh, I totally agree. And then I walk away. Just like, I'll just throw in that nugget and I'm out.
I do the same thing with my White Sox. I've been a White Sox fan since I was a kid with Frank Thomas. Haven't followed them as much lately, but like last year they were pretty good. And so I can be like, we've been good the last couple of years. And they're like, yeah, yep.
Yeah, yep, mm-hmm. And that's the thing is no one ever were like, just, it is what it is.
Yep.
All right.
Some guy stopped me in the gym the other day and had a whole conversation where I just agreed with everything that he said.
Really?
Uh-huh. And he'd be like, what was that pitcher's name? And I was like, I can't remember.
Can't remember for the life of me.
I had no idea what he was talking about.
Do you know how many finishes Bisping has?
A lot of finishes.
The first part of his career, he had a decent amount. And then
old pillow
fist
proving me wrong. 59% of his fights end in K or TKO. 10% submission. 28% decision.
Take that,
Carson.
Rewind it back.
Yeah, it's still not going to happen. He's either going to get knocked out or submitted.
If he doesn't get headbutted this time, you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Chell's big thing is, but
Chell's trying to sell the fight.
Well, him and Bisping sound like they're pretty good friends.
Well, and he just, you know, he's still a UFC guy. He's like, well, both of them came out and said the headbutt changed the fight. Both of them said it. Thanks, Chell.
Oh,
cool.
It. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes as well as Buzzsprout, Stitcher, whatever else. Follow the Poor Sport Report as well as One Speed MMA on Twitter and have conversations with us. We're always tweeting it during the fights. Carson's usually in transit, so don't tweet at him.
But tweet away.
Tweet.
You might be my last tweet.
All right, guys. We will see you next week.
Thanks for having me on.
Bye. Bye.